You hear the word pagan, what does it bring to your mind? Maybe it brings certain images to your mind. Maybe it brings certain thoughts to your mind. Maybe it brings certain religions to your mind. I was in a store a couple weeks ago when I was down in Indiana, and I gave the lady at the cash register, thankfully that day I gave the lady a tract, and anyway, she said something about the fact that she wasn't going to take it because her beliefs were far different than mine. And I said, well, what are your beliefs? And she said, well, I'm a pagan. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? And she basically said something to the effect that she, you know, worships some of the Greek gods. And anyways, I said, well, you should read Romans 1 in the Bible. And she responded to that by saying that she has read the Bible, I can't remember, a couple of times or a few times. Anyway, she's read the Bible, from what I got at it, multiple times. And who knows what the background of this lady was. But maybe she had, you know, seemed like she had some sort of a Bible-based background, but yet she is into paganism. You know, paganism is something that we can be affected by. And here I'd like us to look in Isaiah 46 and 47 tonight. I'm not sure how far I'm going to get through this message. Not the only place, but a lot of the main points of the message are going to be taken from these chapters as we look at the issue of paganism. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary online stated, pagan, the definition, as especially a follower of polytheistic religion, as in ancient Rome. And then a second definition was one who has little or no religion and who delights in sensual pleasures and material goods. An irreligious or hedonistic person, a pagan. Here in Isaiah chapter 46, it really shows the absurdity of following pagan gods. The absurdity of following false gods. It says in Isaiah 46 in verse 1, it says, Bel boweth down, Nebo stoopeth. Bel and Nebo would have been two of the false gods that would have been followed in Babylon. Bel could refer to Baal. Nebo is another god. You can see some of their names compounded with one of the gods. You have like Belshazzar. You have Nebuchadnezzar or Nebuzaradan. It says here, their idols were upon the beast and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy loaden. They are a burden to the weary beast. They stoop, they bow down together. They could not deliver the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. So here Isaiah is foretelling the captivity of Babylon and how it's going to be destroyed. And he takes a look at the gods of Babylon and shows them as being carried away into another land. And so here the gods are being taken away into captivity, and they have no power to stop this from taking place. They're powerless against the enemy. And it makes no sense. Why would the city of Babylon be following, be trusting, be worshiping these pagan gods when they have no power to even deliver themselves from the enemy and are being taken away? In fact, the gods are a burden to the very animals that are carrying them. And then there's a contrast made between these false gods and the true care and concern that God had for the children of Israel. Verse number 3, hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, from the very beginning, which are carried from the womb. And even to your old age I am he, and even to the hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. So here's these false gods that couldn't even be, could not deliver the city, could not even prevent themselves from being carried away. And here's a great contrast with the God of heaven, who himself would carry and guide, who would deliver the children of Israel from bondage if they would simply follow him. Verse number 5, to whom will ye liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like? The first thing I'd like us to see tonight is that the root of pagan thinking is a false conception of who God is. It says, to whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like? They lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver in the balance and hire a goldsmith, and he maketh it a god, and they fall down, yea, they worship. They bear him, then again, look at the absurdity of this god. They bear him upon the shoulder, they carry him and set him in his place, and he standeth from his place, shall he not remove? Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer nor save him out of his trouble. So to whom will ye liken me and make me equal? Pagan thinking is rooted in a false conception of who God is. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You know, throughout heaven, what is going to be spoken of God? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And then it speaks of his power there. And so if we're going to not be affected by pagan thinking, we need to have a proper understanding of who God is. And many of the Christian religions, so to speak, in the United States are being influenced by paganism because they have a false concept of who God is. I mean, you look at the Catholic religion. You look at the Catholic religion and go to the Vatican. David Cloud has a video and he goes through the Vatican and he shows all the different pagan influences upon the Catholic Church. But we need to be careful ourselves that we have the right concept of God. You look at the false worship that's taking place in many evangelical, you know, mega churches. And they're being influenced in a way they're creating a pagan atmosphere because they have a false concept of who God is. So the root of pagan thinking is a false conception of who God is. Secondly, I'd like us to see, this is more maybe a result, but paganism does not give answers to life's questions. Notice what it says there in verse number 7. They bear him upon the shoulders, they carry him and set him in his place, and he standeth. From his place shall he not remove. Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble. All this energy was expended in making this God, but yet this God cannot give answers to life's questions. You know, many people make their own concept of who God is in their mind. And yet when they really need answers to the questions of life, they're going to miss out on receiving those answers because they have been affected by the paganism of our society. Thirdly, I'd like us to see that pagan worship is costly. Notice there, it says in verse number 6, they lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver in a balance, and hire a goldsmith, and he maketh it a god. Paganism is costly. It's not free. People look at Christianity, and yes, there is a price to pay to be a believer. But there's also a price to pay to follow false forms of worship. Think of some of the pagan religions. Mary Slessor, she went to these pagan areas, and they believed that when there were any baby, more than one baby, anytime you had twin babies, it was consummated with a demon. And so they would take the twin babies, put them in clay pots and take them out of the village for the babies to be eaten by wild animals and ants. You know, pagan religion. Think of the cost that it took. They would take, you know, people that they weren't sure what to decide if somebody had done something wrong, so they would make them eat these poison beans. And then if the person hadn't done something wrong, then they would live. Well, that's absurd. If they eat poison, what's going to happen? They're going to die. But it's this wrong, it was this wrong thinking that had taken over their society. And we think, boy, look, that's terrible. But yeah, look at our own society. Now, I was looking at some of the abortion statistics today. I think it's once every 26 seconds in the United States, there's an abortion that takes place. On a website, and they had two different figures. I'm not sure where they came up with two different figures for the same thing. But one was 2,900 and one was 3,304 for how many abortions take place every single day. 100,516 every month. 1,206,192 every year. I mean, that's just hard for us to even comprehend. And we, you know, how pagan has our society become? You know, we look at them and doing this to that twins, and it's heinous, it's terrible. But yet look at our own society and how the feeling is, how numb people have gotten. How numb we become to our own paganism. And the abortion, almost 60 million. The figure I had was like 59, and somewhere on my sheet I thought I wrote it down, maybe I didn't, but it was 59 million, almost 60 million, I guess I didn't write it down, babies that have been killed since Roe versus Wade. Pagan worship is costly. Three quarters of the reasons given, or three quarters of the people, the three reasons that came up for abortion, concern for or responsibility to other individuals. Well, they obviously aren't having concern for or responsibility of the individual that was conceived in the womb. Number two was the inability to afford a child. Well, why don't they give up something of their own so they could afford the child? The third reason there was belief that having a baby would interfere with work, school, or the ability to care for dependents. So work, school, so a lot of that is just their own life. And some of it may be sort of like concern for others, but forget the very one that's dependent upon them in the womb. And then one half of people did not want to be a single parent, or were having problems with their husband or partner. Pagan worship is costly. It's cost many lives in the United States. You think of the cost of people's, what they spend their money on. I looked it up. $96 billion spent on beer or alcoholic beverages. I think this site said beer. $65 billion spent on soft drinks. You know, think of all the money spent on beer and soft drinks. Obviously, soft drinks are a lot better than spending your money on beer. But that's a lot of money. $25.4 billion spent on professional sports. $1.4 billion spent on teeth whiteners. $10 billion dollars spent on romance novels. I mean, what a waste of money that is. You know, you wonder why maybe some of the marriages are the way they are today. $10 billion spent on romance novels, that sure seems like a lot of waste of money. And you know what? It's costly. You know, I wonder how many people's families were affected by the money that they wasted on those romance novels. You know, you think of the what it costs for recreational activities or sports. You know, people don't go to church and they look at you and they think, boy, look at all the money you're giving to your church. Or really, you're giving it to God, not giving it to your church. And they say, you know, well, what about them? Just think of their Sunday and taking it for themselves. Just think of how much maybe they spent on that new boat. I'm not sure how much a new boat costs, but, you know, 15,000, 20,000. Just think how much maybe they spent on that new snowmobile, maybe $8,000. You know, living a pagan lifestyle is costly. It's not free. And we need to realize that. Fourthly, I'd like to see that pagan worship is dominated by a temporal viewpoint. Pagan worship is dominated by a temporal viewpoint that quickly forgets. Isaiah chapter 46, notice what it says in verse 8. He says, the Lord says, "Remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors." Verse 9. "Remember the former things of old." I'd like us to go to the next chapter as well. Verse number 7, Isaiah chapter 47. He says, "And thou says, I shall be a lady forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it." Pagan worship, pagan thinking, is dominated by a temporal viewpoint on life. They think about the here and now. God's saying, remember. He's saying, look to your latter end. What is going to be the end of the thinking, of the way of life that you are choosing? We need to be careful that we are not dominated by a temporal viewpoint in life. I'd like us to go to Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 1, he says, "My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as in honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil." But notice what he's seeking to remind his son of. "But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword." If you just do a little contrast there, the lips of a strange woman drop as in honeycomb. Well, verse 4 speaks of the end. What? Bitter as wormwood. You know, honey is something nice to taste. All right, it's sweet to the mouth. But it says here the end, it's like it, the end is bitter as wormwood. You know, if you experience that bitterness in your stomach, you wouldn't want to what? Probably eat it again, even if there was a little sweetness at the beginning, because you understood what was going to become of it. Then it says, her mouth is smoother than oil. But what's the real end? It says, sharp as a what? Two-edged sword. So there's smoother than oil, but what's the real end? Sharp as a two-edged sword. You know, smoother than oil, maybe it's real smooth and makes you feel good. But the end is something sharp. Then verse 5, he reminds him of the end. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. The strange woman doesn't want the young man to think of the future results of what he is going to experience. He wants her, she wants him to think merely of the present experience. It says in verse number 6, "Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life." Doesn't want you to stop and think of the end result of what's going to happen. "Her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them." You know, why is it so important for young men to listen to their parents, to listen to those that God has put in authority over them in these types of decisions of life? Because your thinking can be very easily clouded over. Your thinking can be very easily swayed in the wrong direction by the strange woman. But pagan thinking is all about right now. It's not about the future. It's all about living for right now. Go to Proverbs chapter 2. It says in verse number 16, "To deliver thee from the strange woman even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. You know, she'll make you feel really good, build you up. Verse 17, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. Here's somebody that what? She forgets her past. She's living a new life. She's doing her own thing now. She's living what? With a temporal mindset. You know, watch out. Here, it's kind of interesting here that the strange woman has a what? She seems to have a spiritual background. You know, she forgetteth the guide of her youth. She forgetteth the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. Pagan thinking is focused on a temporal mindset. Forget the past. Forget the things I was brought up with. Let's have a new perspective on life. The Bible emphasizes the importance, though, of discretion this chapter. Verse 11, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. I'd like to go over to Romans chapter 16. In verse number 18, Romans 16:18, says, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. Okay, notice the temporal, selfish focus. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. You know, very similar to the pathway of the strange woman. We need to be very careful to those that we listen to. Deception is a great tool of Satan. And you have to understand that the devil appeals to our flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh. He's appealing to that. He's appealing to the senses. But God wants us to think spiritually. He wants us to think biblically. He wants us to see the end result of the decisions that we're going to make. And there in Isaiah, God wanted them not just to see maybe a present experience, but He wanted them to see the end result. He wanted them to think about what He had said and to make decisions based upon that. Fifthly, I'd like us to see that pagan thinking is hedonistic. All right, well, what is hedonism? I got a dictionary definition here. Engaged in the pursuit of pleasure. Sensually self-indulgent. All right, engaged in the pursuit of pleasure. Sensually self-indulgent. Notice what it says here in Isaiah chapter 47. I'll start in verse number 7. And thou says, I shall be a lady forever. Right, speaking of Babylon, so that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it. Therefore, hear now this, thou that art what? Thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thine heart, I am and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. Here we see their hedonism in that they are what? They are given to pleasure. I read, you know, about Babylon was a very sensual city. You think of the party that Belshazzar had. And what were they doing? They were living sensually there in that party. So we need to watch out. This is a pagan type of lifestyle, being given to pleasure. You know, it's all around us in our society today. And if we're not careful, it's something that we can easily fall prey to. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Pagan thinking is hedonistic. It's about fulfilling the desires of the flesh. The Bible says, my soul, be on thy guard. Notice what it says here, or not the Bible, it's a hymn. My soul, be on thy guard. It says here that they were given to pleasures, that they what? They dwell, thou that dwellest carelessly. You know, this careless, flippant approach to life. You know, not understanding the danger that is in the pathway of sin. And pagan thinking is hedonistic. It's about having pleasure. And at the same time, it's careless. It's not thinking about the dangers that are involved in the lifestyle that they are in. Sixthly, I'd like us to see that pagan thinking is filled with pride and self-dependence. It says here in verse number 7, and thou sayest, I shall be a lady forever. Boy, that's quite a prideful statement. I shall be a lady forever. I am going to continue on as I am in the life that I am living. Notice verse number 8, the end of the verse, the second half there, that sayest in thine heart, I am and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. So again, here we see that she's just going to go on. Things are going to be fine. Things are going to be dandy. But yet judgment was going to be coming. Verse number 10 of the same chapter. It says, for thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. Pagan thinking is filled with pride and self-dependence. Babylon didn't need anybody else. We're great. We're powerful. You know, look at all we've accomplished. We're just going to continue on. And how many world empires have fought the same thing? We're going to continue on, not realizing that God raises up one and puts down another. And we can get to the same, we can participate in that same type of thinking on an individualistic level, thinking that we're going to continue on in a certain way of life and things are going to be fine. People can make decisions. They can be dependent. They can go off their own way, do their own thing. But eventually it's going to catch up. And when it catches up, it can happen very quickly. And pagan thinking, it's filled with pride and self-dependence. I don't need God. I can do my own thing. You know, I don't need that person's, that authority's advice. I don't need my parents' advice. I can go my own direction. But number seven here, I'd like to see that pagan thinking will turn us from God. Pagan thinking will turn you from God. It said there in verse number 10, thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. Pagan thinking will turn you from God. People think, oh, we can send our kids to the public school. It's not going to be any big deal. Well, what does the Bible say here? Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. We need to be very careful about acquiring the wrong thinking. Because the wrong thinking will turn us. It will pervert us. It will turn us away from God. So we see the pride of intellectual, it can be the pride of intellectual accomplishment. It can be the pride of independent thinking. You know, I can think on my own. But this pagan thinking, this, you know, pride, this self-dependence, You know, people make mistake when they say, well, I don't need to follow the advice of the pastor. I can go my own direction. You know, for a time, things may look like they are going to turn out. But eventually, they're going to pay the price for their independent thinking. Pagan thinking will turn you from God. Or at least, next I'd like to see that pagan thinking is powerless. Notice verse number 11 of Isaiah 47. It says, therefore shall evil come upon you, thou shalt not know from whence it riseth, and mischief shall fall upon thee, thou shalt not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. Notice, your pagan thinking, you're powerless against the effects of the choices that you have made in your life. If we go back to the beginning of Isaiah chapter 46, verse number 2, they stoop, they bow down together, they could not deliver the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. The end of verse number 7 of the same chapter. Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble. Pagan thinking, pagan worship is powerless. It has no ability to save. In the end of Isaiah 47, it says, thus shall they be unto thee with whom thou hast labored, even thy merchants from thy youth. They shall wander every one to his quarter. None shall save thee. You can have this dependence in your own things. We can turn to, you know, various avenues to find fulfillment in life apart from God. But every one of us needs to be reminded that none of those things will deliver. And yet God stands there saying, I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. Now, who are you going to choose tonight? It can be very easy to look out. It can be very easy to become maybe disillusioned by choices maybe that people are making. But ultimately, who are we going to choose to follow in life? Are we going to have the humility to realize how much we need God? And when we will simply humble ourselves before Him, He has promised. He says, even I will carry and will deliver you. I hope tonight that we can be, I guess I got through my message. There's probably more. Maybe in the future we'll see if we cover any more. But I hope that we will maybe just take a step back and think, has any of this affected our thinking? Because it's all around us in the day and age in which we live. People think, I can make choices, I can go my own direction. But they're not thinking of the consequences. They're not seeing the future of the choices that they are making. And it's so important that we understand that paganism, it's about the here and now. It's about hedonism, it's about experiencing pleasure right now. But many times that pleasure breeds heartache in the future. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just pray that You would help us to have Your thinking. Lord, we live in a day and age in which, Lord, I know myself, it's easy to be affected by the emphasis upon pleasure that we have in our society. Lord, it's easy to begin to think that we deserve something. And Lord, we do deserve something, but it's not what our society is saying we deserve. And Lord, it's only by the mercy and Your mercy that we've been delivered from what we deserve. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to fill our minds with your word so that we can be delivered from the false thinking that is surrounding us in the day and age in which we live. And Lord, may we be able to spread the right thinking. Lord, the right, may our lives be lights, Lord, that would reflect your image. May our mouths speak forth your word. And Lord, may you help us to think in a way that would be honoring and pleasing to you. Lord, we are thankful tonight that you are a God that wants to carry us, that wants to deliver us. And Lord, may we recognize how dependent we need to be on you tonight. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.